So in our community, we've worked really hard to recover an ancient spiritual practice, and I hesitate to name the practice because it's picked up so much negative religious baggage along the way. But underneath all that crustiness, it really is such a powerful practice that we found it worth the work, of rethinking it, worth the work of reworking how we practice it. The religious name of the practice is confession. But to help us get past all the baggage, we don't usually call it that. We usually call it the practice of self-awareness and self-disclosure. Now, some of the religious baggage is the idea that confession gets God to forgive our sins. Well, we don't think that's the point of the practice at all. We think forgiveness is to God as shine is to sun. God no more withholds forgiveness until we confess than the sun withholds shine until we jump through some hoop or another. Forgiveness just is. It's the very nature of God. But just because confession isn't about getting God's forgiveness doesn't mean that it's not a powerful and a transformative practice. And we found its power is in the self-awareness that it helps us to develop. Self-awareness developed in the context of spiritual friendships. Our ancient texts encourage us to confess one to another so that we might be healed. You can find that in James. And that has been our experience. When we scrape off all that religious crustiness, the practice helps us see deeply into our own souls. It creates safe spaces to talk about our souls together. And sure enough, in that environment, our souls do get healed. People doing the practice often feel much better getting things out where they can see them, but the practice is more than just feeling better. By helping us see the inner drivers behind our behaviors and our words and our thoughts and our emotions, this practice gives us insight that deeply changes us. Understanding the interior forces that are driving our behaviors, this is transformative. So, we say a hurtful word. We take an unethical shortcut. We feel a deep anxiety in the night hours. We have some kind of an afflictive emotion going on. Most of the time, the inner drivers of those actions, the inner drivers of those emotions, stay below the level of our conscious awareness. We do things, but we don't really understand why we do them. So, Socrates taught us a long time ago, the beginning of wisdom is to know ourselves. And that's what we believe this practice is about. In 5 steps, we work through a series of questions that help us know ourselves. You'll find the questions on the worksheet. It's on this webpage. We ask these questions whenever we catch ourselves in an afflictive emotion, when we feel one rising or a negative action happening. We ask these questions that help us know more about ourselves and help us know ourselves more deeply. Now, most of the time, for most people, when negative thoughts and feelings arise, we simply accept them as the one and true truth about reality. Most of the time, we don't even see them. We simply react to them. They determine what we say, they determine what we do, but we never understand them, we never question them. So we create our whole lives, our relationships, our futures, but we never factor in how these interior reactions are controlling us. So here's something about our human brains. Our brains are wired for habit. If you take a moment and cross your arms over your chest, you'll find that one arm is on top of the other. Now, if you try and put the other arm on top, it will feel really weird. That's because our brains are wired for habit. We've crossed our arms that way 1,000 times. And after the first time, it was easier to cross our arms that way the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. It's just what brains do. So we live in these brains that are wired to do what they've done before, which is true of crossing our arms or tying our shoes. But it's also true of thoughts that we tend to think, stories we tend to tell ourselves. It's also true of interpretations that we make of our life experiences. It's also true of attitudes that we bear toward other people. We're wired to think the thoughts that we've thought before. We're wired to feel the feelings that we have felt before, all of which happens below the level of self-awareness. But even so, these interior habits dictate the terms of our lives. It sure doesn't feel like that. It feels like our thoughts and our feelings represent reality. It feels like they are the one and true truth about all things. But key to interior growth is beginning to doubt our interior experiences and to see that our thoughts are just thoughts and that our feelings are just feelings. As much as we experience them as bedrock truth, they're really just habits. Powerful, forceful, yes, but just habits. They might be accurate, but they might not be. They might be correct, but they might not be. The practice of self-awareness and self-disclosure is the practice of breaking up those habits by seeing them. It's a practice of stepping back from them and disidentifying with them. It's a practice of disconnecting from the blind power that they have to determine our daily lives. So that's where the power of the practice is. It helps us live freely. It helps us have choices we didn't have. It helps free us from the tyranny of habit. It's an ancient practice, confession. It's the practice of self-awareness and self-disclosure. It's the practice of self-awareness, seeing our interior worlds. And it's a practice of sharing this journey with trusted spiritual friends. Something powerful happens when we do this practice with one another. When we develop an environment of trust and affection and confidentiality, it gives us access to one of the most basic spiritual truths that we have, that is, that we find the divine better together than we do alone. Doing this practice together, we develop allies for the journey, we develop a trust and an affection for those who do it with us, we create spaces to explore our interior habits with spiritual allies for the journey. Okay, in the next clip, we'll talk about some of the practical pointers for the practice. So, in our community, we've worked really hard to recover an ancient spiritual practice, and I hesitate to name the practice because it's picked up so much negative religious baggage along the way, but underneath all that crustiness, it really is such a powerful practice that we found it worth the work of rethinking it, worth the work of reworking how we practice it. The religious name of the practice is confession. But to help us get past all the baggage, we don't usually call it